And joining us now is the analyst from the Bengals Radio Network, a former standout Bengals offensive lineman and a great friend, Dave Lapham. Dave, welcome to the show.
Appreciate the opportunity to visit, Vic.
Well, let me start, first of all, Dave, with this team that you cover. They're 3-2, which is, okay, that's fine. I mean, they're above 500, but coming off that loss to the Dolphins, just how much has that impacted the psyche of this Bengals team?
Well, they definitely feel like they didn't take advantage of an opportunity. If you want to achieve your goal of being a playoff team, you have to win home games that you're favored in. And they just let the Miami Dolphins hang around. They had a couple of early turnovers in the football game, were only able to generate field goals out of those opportunities, and really never got on track offensively. Kevin Coyle, the former defensive backfield coach here in Cincinnati for 11 years, really put together a masterful game plan, and I think his defensive players knew how important the game was to him, and they executed it with vigor. I mean, they were flying around the football field, and that defense played outstanding football all day long and never allowed the Bengals offense to get in sync. Defensively, the Bengals played well enough to win the football game, but offensively didn't give enough support.
Yeah, in watching tape of that game, I could see the struggles, and it certainly looked like Andy Dalton was uncomfortable all day long, whether it was the rush itself or the coverages. He just never found a groove.
You're right, and what Kevin decided to do was not let A.J. Green beat him deep. You know, he turned A.J. Green into a possession receiver. He said, you know, you're going to have to go short intermediate routes, and A.J. did that. You know, he had 9 catches, but for like 60 yards, and he turned into a possession receiver, literally. He did catch a touchdown pass. And he said, okay, I'll let the other guys try to beat me deep. I'll invert the responsibilities here. And the supporting cast, for the first time all year, didn't really step up. They didn't win as many one-on-one opportunities as they should have won. There were some drop balls. As you said, when sometimes Andy was inaccurate with his throws when protection was good enough. Other times there were opportunities the protection broke down. It was just one of those games of, as the game progressed, Murphy's Law took bigger and bigger hold.
And taking a look at the running game of the Bengals with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Brian Leonard, and, of course, Cedric Pierman, that, too, was another place where the Dolphin defense had things bottled up.
Yeah, they really did. And what hurt big time in that game is Bernard Scott was the guy that was really damaging the Dolphins. He had a 29-yard burst in that football game in the early stages of it. It's the longest rush from scrimmage the Bengals have had all year, and it was the longest rush from scrimmage the Dolphins had given up all year. The Dolphins' defense came into the game number one in the NFL, allowing only 2.4 yards a rush and only 53 yards a game on the ground. I mean, they're legit against the run. Bernard Scott was hurting them a little bit, but then unfortunately Bernard Scott, first and goal at the 4-yard line, tears his ACL in a non-contact cut, and that's the end of the season for Bernard Scott. So now Cedric Pierman's going to take on a bigger role, and Brian Leonard's going to be the third down back. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis will be the predominant ball carrier, no question.
As we talk about the Bengals with Dave Lapham, he's the former Bengals offensive lineman, and he's an analyst on the Bengals Radio Network. We switch it to the defensive side of the ball, and that is where they played well against Miami. And let's talk about that Bengal defense. Who are some of the players who have been standing out there, Dave?
Well, it's been a community effort, but the guys up front, the strength of the defense is the defensive line. Geno Atkins is just a maniac. I mean, he is a guy that's got a motor that runs the entire football game. He's got 6 quarterback sacks, leads all the interior defensive linemen in the NFL. He's had a sack in 4 of the Bengals' 5 games. It's not like he got up against some rookie and had a 5-sack day against the guy. He's been consistently productive. Michael Johnson supported him with 5 sacks outside. So those two guys have been a dynamic combination in terms of pressure in the quarterback. And they do have an 8-man rotation that they'll roll in there with the defensive line and keep people fresh in the fourth quarter. And they're finally starting to get some bodies back in the secondary. That's where they've really had issues in terms of injury. Leon Hall came back after a hamstring problem. Nate Clemens came back after a calf injury. They re-signed Chris Crocker to give some support at the safety position because of injury, and with the back end being solidified a little bit, they've played pretty good football in the last 3 football games. honestly, against the Cleveland Browns in the first matchup.
Yeah.
That was as poor a tackling job as I've seen out of Mike Zimmer defense since he's been here. They were horrible tackling, and ever since then they've been a lot better in terms of not just trying to hit guys off their feet, but wrapping them up and getting them on the ground.
Well, Dave, that's what I wanted to bring up. Other than playing better and, as you say, tackling better, how do you see the Bengals adjusting what they did in that first game to what they'll do on Sunday against the Browns team that has a more experience now, at least by a few more games, Trent Richardson, and as well as he ran that day, and he ran pretty well against the Giants, and has really been a force where opposing defenses have wanted very little to do with this guy when he comes through the hole.
He's a load. I mean, he's legit, and he also catches the ball effectively. I mean, he had a touchdown reception and a touchdown rush against the Bengals, and he's been, you know, very productive. What he scored in four straight games, isn't he the first Browns rookie to ever do that? So that's a pretty good, you know, history there that he's involved with. I think the bottom line is with him, you have to get more than one guy at the point of attack. You have to gang tackle this guy. I mean, you can't put a teammate out there on the island. He can't beat Gilligan with no Marianne and Professor out there on the island. Boy, he's got to get some help and support out there. And I think that's what they have to do, is swarm to the football when this guy's got his hands on it, because he is a force to be reckoned with for sure.
And Brandon Whedon had set a Browns rookie record with his passing yards against the Bengals in that previous game. A guy who continues to make progress, but has also had a couple of plays that I'm sure he wants back on interceptions, but generally speaking seems to be moving in the right direction. And once again, Mike Zimmer, as defensive coordinator of the Bengals, has that additional book on him, right? He's got the first game that they played, and he's got other games to study. How do you see things maybe breaking down this time?
Yeah, I agree with you, Vic. I think it's a deal where, you know, now that you've seen Brandon Whedon play for a month, and you've seen what he's going to do with his wide receiver core and concepts that are working well and concepts that have carried over for, like, you know, into the third, fourth, and fifth week. Now you have a better understanding of what they're trying to do, how they're trying to attack a little bit. But Brandon Whedon has thrown the second most passes in the NFL. The only guy that's thrown more passes than him is Drew Brees. You can understand why. He just broke Unitas' record, so... I mean, Whedon has thrown over 40 passes a game. That's a heavy burden for a rookie. Obviously, they've been behind in quite a few games, but I don't know. To me, I would think, I haven't seen every snap like you have, but I would think Coach Childress might be abandoning that running game with Richardson maybe a little bit too soon. And I know that Jay Gruden did that against the Miami Dolphins last week. When Andy Dalton throws the ball 40 more times here in Cincinnati, the Bengals are 0-4. So, to me, I think the team that strikes balance between the run and the pass is the team that's going to have the best opportunity to win the football game.
And that leads me to talking more about the Bengals' offense and the pass protection for Andy Dalton. Obviously, the best friend is having that running game and getting that going. And minus Scott now in that backfield, that is going to be a challenge for the Bengals. The last time these teams met, Dave, as you know, the Browns had 6 sacks, got a lot of pressure on Dalton. How do you see them dealing with the Browns pass rush this time around and a Browns team that has theoretically now better coverage with Joe Hayden back from his suspension?
Yeah, I think that Joe Hayden is obviously going to be a factor. I mean, I think they'll probably play even a little bit more man than they did the first go around. And Andy Dalton was the first to say after that game that a lot of those sacks were quarterback issues, holding on to the ball too long. You know, he's just got to make a determination to cut it loose and trust his receivers to make some plays on it. DeQuell Jackson had 3 of those quarterback sacks, and plus he had an interception. So if he's a little dicey with that concussion, that could be a major blow. But the pass protection does have to be sound. But as you mentioned, the Miami Dolphins absolutely paid no attention to the Bengals' play-action pass because the Bengals couldn't get any kind of consistency in their running game. So it's almost pointless and fruitless to go to a play-action passing attack based on establishing a ground game when you don't have one. They're going to have to get one established against the Browns, get some running lanes and some creases so play-action passes have some significance to them.
Well, Dave, excellent information, and we appreciate you taking the time with us.
My pleasure, Vic. Anytime, sir.
All right. He is Dave Lapham. He is the analyst for the Bengals Radio Network, former Bengals offensive lineman, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.